Wow. Well, there's an interesting song, isn't it? That's called Drums a Go-Go, and that's from... You can turn that down a little bit, can't you? Jesus Christ. That's Drums a Go-Go. There's from Natural Born Killers. Boy, that... Yeah. Live from the Bodega Restaurant in Hollywood, California, this is Frank Gray's Hollywood. Well, listen, I got a call late last night about a quarter to ten, as the song goes. Late last night, about a quarter to ten, I get a call. And Phil Hendry is on the phone, and she's telling me that she needs fill-in hosts for a portion of the week. And she's already had this Chris Norton, and I've talked to her. She is as weird as they get. My history in Hollywood is extensive. You know, I was on Chris's show yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I spoke with her, and I spoke with Bob Meat, one of the top porn actors. She was there, and I got these two porn actors breathing all over me and wanting me to produce their garbage, and I just said, later for that. But good kid, Chris Norton. But Phil calls me up last night, says, can you do a show? And I said, what do you mean, can I do a show? What are you talking about? And she said, fill in on my podcast, on the radio podcast, however they call it. I said, what do you want me to do? And she says, anything you want. And I said, you're on. How do you turn that down, huh? Also, I have Davik Banna. Davik's longtime guy in the entertainment business. Davik from his home in Pacific Palisades. Davik, did I build you up enough?
Oh, that's good enough, Frank. I don't think I need any more build-up than that, but I appreciate it.
Davik is a producer, a writer. She's done it all. And I've known her since I got to California. What year did I get out here?
I think it was 1961. It's about the same year I did.
Oh, you came out in 61, too.
Well, Bethany and I pulled up stakes in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and came out here. And it's been quite a ride, I'll tell you that.
Well, you've done okay, though.
Well, it's been pretty good.
You've done okay. And Davik has done... You've been a producer. What else?
Well, I've produced, directed, I've been an actor.
Now, let me... Right, see here, here's the deal. You know...
Remember to breathe, Frank.
Yeah, you're right. Davik was as... You were working as an associate producer on Cool Hand Luke, is that right?
That's correct.
And one of the actors didn't show up. They needed atmosphere, a stand-in, so Davik, they drag her into the middle of the scene... And you were there, and what scene was that?
I was part of the road crew as they were laying the asphalt. You might remember there's that big scene where they're...
Oh, yeah, they're throwing the gravel.
Yeah, that's right, they're throwing the gravel. And that was... I was just one of the many inmates who was throwing the gravel out on the road that day. But interestingly enough, when the scene broke, and we're between scenes, and Paul Newman is standing there, Newman... says the director, you know, what do you think of this? And he starts to hobble around. And who was the director on that movie? Anyway, I can't even remember who the man was that directed it.
On what movie?
Cool Hand Luke.
Well, you were in Cool Hand Luke, weren't you?
I'm telling you about it right now.
Oh, all right, yeah. Stuart Rosenberg.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. So Newman's talking to Rosenberg... And Newman starts to demonstrate a little bit of a dance.
A dance?
Right. Well, it's a limp, but it looked like a dance to me. It looked like an Irish jig. It looked like something a leprechaun would just leap around. And Newman's standing in one place doing a little bit of a leap and a limp. And Rosenberg, he's leaning against a Jeep, shaking his head like, you know, this is not going to, you know, much more of this and I'm going to go ape. And so Newman never did do it, but... It looked a lot like Dennis Weaver in Gunsmoke.
Well, what was the point? What's the point of that?
Well, I think that it's the scene where Cool Hand Luke goes running for the rabbit after the man with no eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very iconic character in film history.
Yeah, the man with no eyes, and Newman's character, Cool Hand Luke, goes to run down and get the rabbit, and he wanted to do this little limp step.
And it was based on Dennis Weaver, huh?
That's my understanding.
Well, there's a guy. You know, Dennis Weaver, and I'm going to be clear, the limp was based on Dennis Weaver or a character that Dennis Weaver played?
No, the character in Gunsmoke.
Oh, okay. Because Weaver, weird, doesn't even begin to tell the tales about her. And she was in that film, that Duel. You remember that, don't you?
Well, yeah. Duel was about the truck.
It was about a truck that chases some guy, and the guy is being chased down a highway by a truck, and the truck has taken on the anthropomorphic features of the nose and the face, and when the guy looks in the rearview mirror, she sees this truck's face just, you know, in the rearview. I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, it was a frightening film, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was frightening. It was great. It was a young Steven Spielberg at her best, as she just was starting her career. And I don't know where she got the bright idea of turning a truck into a monstrosity, but have you ever in your wildest imaginations, you know what I mean? That's what you call great writing fused with a great director.
Well, the writing is everything.
You said a mouthful right there.
Writing is the ideas. If we don't have ideas and we don't have scripts, we got to have scripts. And I'm always looking for scripts. I'm everywhere. I'm in coffee shops. I'm looking in garbage cans. That's how much we need scripts, that we have their studio heads and we have development people and we have directors going through garbage cans to find scripts.
That's how bad it's gotten, huh?
That's how bad it's gotten. You don't even ask a guy to write anymore because you realize that that's hit and miss. That's 50-50 there. You might as well go through garbage cans and dumpsters looking for scripts because your chances of success are about even right there.
All right, well, this is Frank Gray, and I'm with Davik Bana, and this is Frank Gray's Hollywood. That's the best thing I could come up with. I'm here at the Bodega restaurant. I wish you'd come down here, Davik. You're not able to, huh?
No, I can't. I've got my grandchildren here today. I wish I could.
Well, we're having a good time. I've got Bill Kefauver and some of the others. They came in from the L.A. Athletic Club, and they're fooling around and getting salads. So, boy, we sure miss you there, buddy.
I'm telling you, I wish I could, but I've got the kids, and then my daughter comes home, and she's going to have a collection of women here drinking wine and eating cheese, and I'll need to be riding herd.
All right, so you're playing what do you call Mr. Mom, huh?
Mr. Grandmom.
Well, there you go. This is Frank Gray and Davik Bana here, and we're remembering stories from Hollywood, and you can certainly join it. Now, I had no idea, and this is the Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and I want to be clear about that because she usually does this, and she asked me to do this, and I'm very grateful to do it, and I want to be clear that it's her show, not mine. Now, some of you, and I've been asked to explain, because I had done this on Twitter not too long ago. I have a condition called gender confusion, which is the result of a neurosyphilitic condition.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, I don't lie to anybody, Davik. I tell them the truth.
I just wish you wouldn't do that.
Well, I'm doing it. You know, it was years ago when I was young, and I've recovered. But the ill effects have gotten me. I'm screwing up genders. That's what they tell me. To me, it sounds normal. But they tell me I refer to he's as she's and she's as he's. But if they're gay, I refer to them in their right gender. So that's something to consider.
I just wish that you hadn't given people the reason for that.
Well, Davik, you're a good man, but I appreciate. She's always looking out for me, and I love that about you, Davik, but I've got to do what I got to do. All right, so we're going to take some phone calls today, too, here on Frank Gray's. I was going to call it I Remember Hollywood, but then Joe Dickhead has a...
Joe's got a show called I Remember Baseball.
And Phil told me that she was doing that, so I said, well, all right, we'll just call it Frank Gray's Hollywood. And I'm here remembering some of the things about Hollywood.
Now, does everyone remember how you met Margaret?
Well, I think I've certainly told the story. Margaret is my wife, and he was out here in California, and he wanted to be an actress. And he was gorgeous. He was a blonde, blue eyes, real hot looking. And he auditioned one day for a pilot we were doing called Bunkhouse on CBS.
Uh-huh.
And we went ahead and gave him a shot as Grinelda, who is the girl that works in the bunkhouse kitchen and cooks it up, you know. And that was kind of the double on d'entendre.
Oh, okay. So she's cooking in the kitchen and later on.
Later on in the bunkhouse. So it started out with a three-cornered triangle bell going ding ling a ling a ling bunkhouse on CBS, you know. And then it would show, I think we had Stuart Granger and Wad Gabani and some of the real washed out, burned out, you know.
You know, you had budget for a real cast, but you didn't want to spend money.
Well, who told you that?
You did. You said that you didn't want to put a lot of money into this thing.
Well, maybe you're right. But anyway, you're right. We didn't have a lot of big names, but we had. And then it would show and introducing Margaret Gray. And the camera would pan in on him as he walked up to the window, the bunkhouse kitchen window, and kind of leaned out and smiled. And you could see he had really big breasts, and he was beautiful. And ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, bunkhouse, you know, brought to you by. And then it went in the commercial. But
that never made it to the schedule, did it?
No, it didn't. It CBS didn't green light. I didn't give a damn, personally. I was doing somebody a favor with that script. But I met Margaret, and that's when he and I decided to get married. And we had Jason J. Delmonico. Well, many years later, she was born. And that's where it brings us to here. But I got out of the Hollywood thing.
Now, you, after a great many years producing and directing, you finally left, and you were an attorney anyway.
Yeah, I had my law practice. But I'd managed a bunch of people, and I'd been producing science fictions and horror movies under the name T. Willingsley. You remember that? Or were you around?
That was a little bit before I got out there.
Yeah, T. Willingsley. I used another one, Count Porcula. Allergy out here. Can I get a glass of water? And for the 15th time, will you bring me a cup of coffee?
Sure. Well, how's the service bad, huh?
I've been telling this waiter, and she's standing around with her finger in her ear. Just a cup of coffee. So, T. Willingsley, I was Count Porcula.
What were these names again?
These were names I used when I was producing for Ronnie Heffron. We were doing the horror movies.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie had the horror company. He didn't want to do another Roger Corman. Well, that reminds me, because when I first come out, I made a beeline to Roger Corman's, because I had a bunch of scripts, and I knew that he had a reputation. He'd shoot anything, pretty much any garbage you brought. I don't mean garbage, but anything you brought him, he'd go ahead and take a crack at shooting it, and maybe he'd pay you, maybe he wouldn't. It was all dependent upon his mood. And I had a bunch of scripts.
What were they?
Oh, they were ridiculous. You know, just ridiculous.
Like what? Tell us.
Oh, they were the giant. There was a giant lizard. It was the gigantic lizard of Cleveland or something was one script I wrote. And another one
it was called what? The gigantic what?
Gigantic Lizard of Cleveland. And it starred Paul Parent and Jenny O'Connell.
Who?
Well, hey, Frank, you know.
All right. I'm just wondering.
These are young people. And then another one was It Walked Like Bertrand. And that was with Billy Udell. You know him, don't you?
No, I don't remember her.
Well, he starred in a couple of westerns that you did.
Who is she?
Billy Udell.
I don't recall. She was a cowboy, huh?
Yeah. And that one, It Walked Like Bertrand, was a psychological thriller.
And what was that about?
Well, it was about a thing that lived in the cellar, but it walked a lot like a guy named Bertrand, who everyone liked and thought he was great until it walked in, and then you realized it was a monstrosity. And so that was good. And then another one that we did for Roger Corman was a thing called The Birdman of Alcatraz. in the laboratory, something like that, because we wanted to capitalize on the Birdman of Alcatraz.
Yeah.
So it was like the Birdman of Alcatraz is in a laboratory. I can't remember. So, you know, it was a difficult time, but we were trying to do what we could to make ends meet.
The Birdman of Alcatraz in a laboratory?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, what does that mean, Davik?
It was a script. We took the Birdman of Alcatraz, and he's a guy with birds, and we gave him a laboratory in the prison.
So he's Dr. Frankenstein as well as...
Yes, exactly. So he's taking care of birds, and he's creating... and he's creating life by stitching human tissue together.
Boy, you know what? You know
what?
You really, you tried anything, did you?
Hey, I had a guy's got to eat.
Yeah, that's what she said.
What?
This is Frank Gray, and we're in Hollywood here at the Bodega Cafe with Davik Banna, and we're talking Hollywood. Davik had a career as a producer and writer and director, working for Roger Corman for a while. Then you went out on your own, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what did you do then?
Well, I did some television like you did. I did three episodes of The Bunglers. I did a episode and a half of The Sat. And then I did...
The what?
The Sav.
The Sav?
Yeah, it was about a... He was a private detective who was known as The Sav because he just salved over problems.
Who the hell produced that?
That was on NBC.
The Sav?
You know what a salve is, don't you?
Yeah, like, is it like sunblock?
Yeah.
Well, this guy's called the salve?
Because he made people feel better after they got burned and got their ass kicked.
Well, that doesn't sound like she's very formidable.
Well, what do you want from me, you know? That was the salve. And then another one, the Rosemary Clooney Adventure Hour. That was one I thought was going to go.
The Rosemary Clooney Adventure Hour. How did I miss... working on these?
I don't know, Frank. I know that you were one of the main money guys in town.
Well, I wouldn't say I was a main money guy. I'll tell you what I was, though. I was the main jackball in town, because every time these clowns wanted somebody to come along and EP some turd that just dropped out of an elephant's rear end, they'd knock on Frank Gray's door, and I'd be standing there, yes, sir, and I'm telling you.
Well, you know, and you were a newlywed, so you needed the money.
All right, so I gotta look up the salve. That they might as well have produced something called.
Well, you're gonna say the ointment.
Yeah, they might as well have produced something called the ointment, starring Detective Bill Ointment.
No, that's not a bad idea.
Trust me when I tell you, it's a lousy idea, a lousy idea. Okay, you know, you never can tell. Who's the guy? Chuck Berry. God rest Chuck Berry's soul. C'est la vie, say the old folks. It goes to show you never can tell. We're at the Bodega Restaurant in Hollywood. This is Frank Gray's Hollywood. Gonna be right back with some phone calls from you folks, and we might have another superstar or two to talk to in just a minute. Hey, you. I told you what I thought. Well, the Phil Henry Show website, they want me to tell you about that. You know, Phil has got the website. They're about to roll out the new version. The beta testing has been done. And she had a bunch of her listeners testing it and some of the listeners. And they've all weighed in and they've given opinions. And they're tweaking and doing all kinds of fun things. So this is the time to get a subscription to the Phil Henry website. And you just go over there to philhenryshow.com and get a subscription. That's philhenryshow.com for a subscription to the website. Frank Gray with Davik Banna talking old Hollywood. And let's get it. Well, here's my wife.
I was going to say, I knew she was going to call in.
All right. Here's my wife. Margaret Gray is with us, my wife, Margaret. Okay, what do you want?
What do I want? First of all, Frank, let me say this. I was in the pilot, but I don't believe that you and I met on the pilot there. I think we met later on.
No, you were in the pilot. I produced it.
For Bunkhouse.
That's the one.
that. Now, what was Bunkhouse?
Bunkhouse was the Western. You played the cook, and you cooked for a bunch of drovers who would come into the bunkhouse, and they'd eyeball you up and down, and you'd take on all 10 of them.
Oh, jeez.
Right, but that was the whole premise of Bunkhouse and in introducing Margaret Gray.
Yes, now I remember, yes. Well, you know, Frank, a couple of things you got wrong about that. Stuart Granger wasn't in that. El Fremonte was, the Spanish actor.
El Fremonte?
Yes. You don't remember him?
I don't remember El Fremonte. I wouldn't know El Fremonte if she ran me over with her lowrider. And when was this?
When we were doing Bunkhouse. And El Fremonte was in that, and also Todd Berenger and his sister, Ellen.
Ellen Berenger. So Todd and his sister, Ellen, and he, of course, he and his brother. Of course, his brother was always very protective of him because he was a female, and, you know, being the girl, Todd would protect Ellen. But Todd, I liked him a lot. He never really had any girls himself, though, because of the... did it ever go public?
Did what go public?
That he was gay?
I didn't know that until you just now called him he.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Franco, this is Davik. Hi, Margaret. Hello, Davik. How are you? I'm good. So anyway, I wanted to mention, I knew the Berengers. I knew Ellen. I knew Ted or Todd. And he went by both names, Ted and Todd. And I knew the Chudunskys.
Oh, the Chudunskys were the ballet dancers.
Yeah, but they were also on Bunkhouse, I think, for 3 or 4 episodes. They played ballroom, the showgirls, that kind of thing.
Well, the Chudunskys were 3 brothers.
Right, but they were able to play, you know, the... maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. I did hire all 3 of them, the Chudunsky brothers. They were great. Especially David. He was very talented. We're talking here with Davik Hanna and along with my wife, Margaret Gray, and we're discussing old Hollywood. And let's go to a phone call now. Here is Sandy. Hi, Sandy. You're with Frank Gray, me, my wife, Margaret Gray, and our friend, Davik Banna.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
And how are you?
I'm good. I remember a program called Dr. Godzilla. And
Davik, you worked on that, didn't you?
I did. Sandy, I was the... I was an assistant producer. I did a lot of production assistant. Then I became an associate and then executive producer on that show.
Dr. Godzilla?
Yes, I was.
Who was the actor? Who was the star?
That was Barry Samaham.
Big Paul Blunt stud.
That's right. That's right.
And he cured diseases and he could walk into a radioactive...
Well, the whole idea of Dr. Godzilla was that he... he himself had been so exposed to radioactivity, it didn't matter anymore, and he could go from radioactive building to radioactive building.
Was that shot in Japan?
No, that was San Francisco. Why do you say that?
All right.
All right, thank you very much, Sandy. Whatever his problem was, I hope I don't encounter it again. You understand? Zoot. Zoot's on the board. Whatever his... That's Sandy. Nuts.
What was Dr. Godzilla about? That was about a medical show.
That was a medical show, yeah. It's about a young doctor who is working with the victims of nuclear reactor explosions. He was working with naval, in the Navy hospital and other places, and he would cure them. He always, you know, everyone that ever came near him with a Geiger counter, it was right off the chart. It was an interesting movie. It was a very dramatic movie, and it was there was a love interest in it. And we hired a girl who had just come here from Salt Lake City. She had done regional theater, and she had an agent out here. Her name was Zelda Blounhound.
Zelda Blounhound.
You mean Zelda Blowhound.
That's it, yeah.
Zelda Blowhound had been on the Walter Proctor Hour.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The AT&T Walter Proctor Hour, and it was an anthology.
Boy, those anthologies were tough, weren't they?
I'll say they were. A lot of work.
God damn it. I hated those goddamn, excuse my language, folks, but, you know, trying to get an anthology cast every GD week.
Frank, you know, that's how television went in those days.
I know that, but it was, and a guy over at ABC, Wadsworth Bonhauser, who was the head of development there.
Yeah.
said, we got another anthology, Frank, and we need you. And I said, the hell you do. You go find some other sucker. And she says, no, Frank, it's got to be you. You do anthologies. You're magic with the material. And I said, if you want to see some magic, show up on the set day one. I'll take that script. I'll wipe back to front.
Hey, way to do it.
Frank, you knew how to stand up for yourself.
That's right. And that's the last I heard from her.
What was the show?
It was an anthology starring Loretta Young, you know, and...
Well, she'd already done one.
Oh, they were trying to milk it for all it was worth. They wanted to do another anthology with Loretta Young.
Loretta Young had a good career in television.
Who cares? All right, folks.
Problem with Loretta Young?
Maybe I do. What's it to you?
Well...
All right, folks, this is Frank Gray, and this is Frank Gray's Hollywood. And we're talking here with my wife, Margaret Gray. We've also got Banik Dava with us, one of the great director, producer. You had a bunch of jobs. What would you say, Banik, your job was?
Well, I was a writer, actor.
A writer, producer, director, actor.
Yeah, there were two additional jobs there. And a lot of people in those days did that, but you were just called, just an actor. They never gave you the... They didn't give you the respect of being called a writer. No, they didn't give you that kind of respect.
Well, and then you went into producing, and that way you never looked back.
Well, it was a lot easier than trying to make a living as an actor, and the perks were good. And
you were in the 70s. You did Cool Hand Luke.
Well, just as an assistant, as I was getting into production, and then I did another Paul Newman movie called Raindrops Are Falling on My Head.
Oh, you're talking about Butch Cassidy.
Yeah, Butch Cassidy and
Butch Cassidy.
Well, it says Butch Cassidy, but Margaret's generally, he's generally right about these things.
That's how you pronounce B-U-T-C-H. It's Butch, not Butch.
All right, I'm looking at Butch Cassidy and the Sundanky Kid.
It's not the Sundanky Kid, Frank. Don't be ridiculous. You never heard of the Sundance Kid.
No, I did not. I didn't work on the goddamn movie.
Frank?
Well, I did, and I don't remember. I thought it was Butch Cassidy and the Sundanky Kid. But that was fun, because it was Paul Newman, it was Robert Newman, it was Paul Redford, and it was Robert Redford. It was Paul Newman and Robert Redford. There were only two of them.
There were two of them, yes. What did I say?
Well, you said there was Paul Redford and Robert Newman.
Oh, no. There was only two. And then it also had in it Catherine Ross, and she was lovely. And a great many support players, too. A lot of fun.
Well, it was about the gunslingers, wasn't it?
Yes. You know, Westerns, there were a lot of Westerns being produced.
Well, and I saw that movie. And I'll tell you, and then after that, they teamed Newman up with Redford again in a thing called The Stink that was just wonderful.
The Sting.
Call it The Stink.
No, The Sting. S-T-I-N-G.
The Sting, Margaret says it is. And that, again, had Paul...
Robert Redford.
Paul Robert Redford.
No, that's Paul Redford and...
I know who it is. Paul Newman and Robert Redford in The Stink. Oh, and you know who else it was?
The Sting.
Sting.
You know who else it was? The wonderful, 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 wonderful world of... The wide, wonderful world of...
Walt Shaw?
Walter Shaw, who had been in Jaw.
No, Robert Shaw.
Robert Shaw. Forgive me. Thank you, Mark. Thank God Margaret's here.
Oh, yeah, Robert Shaw was terrific. He triumphed in A Man for All Seasons. He played King Arthur, or King...
King Henry.
King Henry. And he did a lot of things.
I thought Robert Shaw did The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 or whatever that goddamn thing was.
I don't think that was him, Frank.
Well, all right, Margaret. Thank you very much for your expert opinion. Jesus H.
Margaret, I'm glad we've got you here keeping us honest.
Well, you guys need to get your information straight. But that movie, the Sting, was a Best Picture nominee.
Yes, I was very proud to have worked on it.
Well, what did you do on that movie?
I craft services.
All right, you were making sandwiches?
I was making sandwiches and omelets, so...
Wow.
Well, Frank, don't put it down.
Well, what were you doing?
I wasn't... I'll tell you what I was doing. I was wishing I'd made The Exorcist. Oh.
Now, that was a great one.
That made so much GD money. I couldn't believe. And when Harry Swenson came to me the next morning after that pizza, and it opened out there in Westwood Village, and she said, you wouldn't believe the crowds we're getting. And this, and I said, for that goddamn devil movie? And she goes, yeah, well. I said, you better pull the other one to see if there's bells on it. And she says, read it and weep, Charlie. And out the door she went.
Well, that was a big hit, and no one really knew that was going to be a big hit until it hit, because it was so bizarre.
Bizarre? It was about the devil going into a little girl, and the little girl just was, you know.
Oh, Mercedes McCambridge did the voice.
Yeah. They got Mercedes. How about that one, Davik?
Well, you know, you look at Mercedes McCambridge, you never know that she had that facility, you know, to do those kinds of voices.
Yeah, Mercedes McCambridge did the demon voice, and I heard that, and I said, who the hell is that? And Rick Bershaw, who was doing sound, said, that's Mercedes McCambridge. And I said, bull, you know, I used the dirty word. And it took her a while to convince me that that's who he was. It was him, you know, it was Mercedes McCambridge. So, you know, it's, and they made a lot of money on that. I mean, a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, that was the latest thing. And after that, every demon movie, all the devil movies rolled out, and Westerns were a thing of the past.
Well, I think it's bad, because I made my money, and I had a hell of a good time on all the old Westerns, and, oh, well, you know.
Now read it and weep, like they say.
Right, read it and weep. We're going to come back with another phone call from y'all, and see what you think as we continue here with I Remember Hollywood. I'm Frank Gray. With me is Davik Banna, and of course my wife is Margaret Gray, and we're having a ball here. We're having a ball remembering all of these old times here of Hollywood. We'll be right back. Friends, if you really want to know about Hollywood, send away for Frank Gray's Hollywood A to Z. This is a book that you've got to have. You can put this in your library. You can take it out from time to time and page through it thoughtfully. And when people see you standing there with a pipe, glasses, and you're paging through this gigantic book with all this fine print, they'll think you're some kind of genius. Only to take the book and actually look at it and realize it's just a bunch of letters and there's nothing in it. Although we do have pictures of some of the great stars of all time. You'll see them in their great roles. Criminy Wilson in The Florist. You'll also see Bethlehem Araba in that beautiful, beautiful film, The Crime of Dr. Wilson. And again, all of these are in multicolors. And, of course, the latest, which is the last year's Academy Award winner, Suck. The horror films are good, too. Duckling, Earthworm, and the like. So get Frank Gray's Hollywood A to Z and look at it as if there's something in the book other than just small letters that don't mean diddly shit.
This is Margaret Gray, and you're listening to Frank Gray's Hollywood.
That's Davik Banna, and I'm really happy here because on the phone right now with us from his home in Golden, Colorado. This is where they used to make Coors beer there, and it's Randy Silk. And Randy is one of the great stunt people of all time. Randy, how are you?
Hey.
And Randy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Davik.
And Randy, we wanted to have you on because, you know, Frank's here.
Randy, how are you?
Mr. Gray, I'm so happy to talk to you.
Randy Silk is one of the fine stunt people. And Randy, God bless you for the things you done did.
Randy could do anything you asked him to do.
Well, sometimes I wish I hadn't, but...
Come on now.
there was some challenging stunts.
Well, I don't think there was anybody in Hollywood that lent reality the way she did with the stunts that she did.
You got that...
You had syphilis, didn't you?
All right, Randy, could you just not bring that up?
I'm sorry.
Why do you say that?
You called me she.
I know I didn't.
All right, just never mind about that. Randy,
I remember I've had that syphilis.
Randy, if you don't mind, let's just not bring that up.
All right.
Randy, you want to go on and on about me having syphilis? I heard some stories about you, and they weren't pretty, you know, especially when you guys were out on location and things were a little scarce, and so you took to doing whatever you had to do, and you wind up with rabies, distemper.
Bullshit.
That's what I heard, so don't be talking to me.
Gentlemen, let's just clean it up, and we're all friends here. We all work in the same business.
That man talking, he's intimating that I had biblical relations with a wild dog or a domesticated?
Okay, I'll make you feel better. Domesticated.
That don't make me feel better, but it's better at least when a dingo. On the dingo.
What's a dingo?
That's Randy's way of saying the word fuck. Yeah.
Well, I guess you just said it then, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
You have to clean the language up.
I'm a dingo.
Hey, Randy, now that everyone knows you mean fuck when you say...
Randy, tell us your favorite Western.
My favorite Western was Stagecoach.
No, the one you worked in.
Oh, well, my favorite Western that I worked in, well, you know, Frank produced it, I gotta say.
Yeah, that's right. We did some great work together.
Frank produced it. It was called Verdugo by Morning, and it had Winston Sylak and the Everly Brothers.
We got the Everly Brothers for that. I always love to say that we got the Everly Brothers for a song. Huh? Huh?
Yeah, that's good, Frank. Very good, Frank.
Yeah, we got the Everly Brothers for a song.
Yeah, I heard you. So Winston Sylak, the Everly Brothers, the Everly Brothers played deaf-mute twins that could play guitar.
Well, yeah, that was my idea. When I looked at Phil and Dawn, I said, well, they're both good-looking boys. She's the blonde, that's Phil, and she's... And I said, let's just make them both deaf-mutes who panhandle.
Yes, they went from saloon to saloon.
Yeah, they'd panhandle, and they had their guitars. And I said, well, a great device would be this. Let's have them panhandle, and when someone says, well, look, why don't you play us a song for your money, and have them half grunt and half sign language, we don't know how to play these instruments, we just carry them with us. So it was...
I thought that was good. They went... It kind of grunted it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. And I remember Phil Everly coming up to me at the end of that, and she said to me, I'll never work for you again as long as either of us walk this earth. And she took a swing. I ducked, and she hit a lamp above me on the wall, and just that thing just shattered into a million pieces, just glass raining down on me. And she stalked out, and then Dawn came over and said, don't ever darken our sheets again. And she tried to knee me in the you-know-what, and that missed.
She got stalked out? I think I saw that.
Yeah, and that was the end of that. So it was not a very pleasant day.
Well, but, you know, that was a lot of fun, Frank, because you made it fun. You made it fun for all of us. You wandering around there, your mind half gone from the gonorrhea, going, hey, she. And
I don't know what you're talking. I didn't have it then.
Yes, you did, Frank. You were just getting over it.
You just come down with it, and then you got over it.
Well, it doesn't sound like I got over anything if I'm saying she.
Well, that's what you did, but you were great. But I think that's what pissed the Everly Brothers off. And Winston Sylak, who Winston didn't mind because he was an alcoholic. And as an alcoholic, he could not have cared less about what anybody called him. And then the co-star was Sarah Intel.
Well, he was gorgeous. He was from Romania.
Yeah.
And my idea was to have him play as the like a cowgirl.
Like a tomboy.
Yeah. He was going to be a tomboy. Even though he was extremely feminine, you know, the big boobs, and he had the perfect ass. Did you ever see him?
Yeah, I did. It was great.
Well, what's with you?
It's just when you say he, she.
I think it throws everybody off, Frank.
All right, okay.
Just accept that it happens, Frank.
All right. Okay, well, listen, I want to say, Randy, thank you so much for being with us here on the... Frank Gray's I Remember Hollywood show, and I hope you can come back and be with us again.
I've tried to do it.
Thank you very much. Randy Silk there. We're at the Bodega Restaurant here in Hollywood, California. This is Frank Gray, and this is I Remember Hollywood, and we're going to be right back with more after this.
Frank Gray's I Remember Hollywood. Brought to you by...
Ow! Mom, I need a Band-Aid.
When your son comes walking in with his hand hanging off of his wrist, there's only one thing and one thing only that's going to help him survive and see another day, and that's to get him into an ambulance, get him to the hospital, 6 months in the finest facility you can find.
In the meantime,
get Band-Aid. Band-Aid helps with all the other problems you have around the house. Band-Aid, flesh-colored and the new darker, and even darker still, lighter, white, bleached out, bleached out, ghost white, and black as the Ace of Spades. Band-Aid, for all your Band-Aid needs. What is that? What is that? That's scary, isn't it? All right, Frank Gray back here, and we're having a ball. We're at the Bodega restaurant. In fact, I'm the only one here at the Bodega. Margaret and my good friend, Davik Banna is on the phone with us. We're remembering some of the old television shows, all of the Hollywoods and the nonsense. Margaret, can you remember, what else did you work on?
Well, you know, after I got done with Bunkhouse, but you and I were engaged right after Bunkhouse.
Yeah.
But I was up for Big Valley.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, Margaret, I remember that like it was yesterday. Hold on for a minute. What do you mean, here we go?
Well, every time, he's always talking about Big Valley and how Linda Evans, stuck it to you up the giggy with the wah-wah brush.
I had that job. And I remember seeing Linda Evans whispering in the ear of Barbara Stanwyck and then going to some of the other principals there, Jerry Vanderhoek, and, whispering, and then looking at me and then whispering. And it was quite obvious that they were plotting to take that role from me.
Did it ever occur to you, Margaret, that as good as you were, Linda Evans was better?
No, and I don't think it occurred to anyone else. Did you see Linda Evans in that... She was as stiff and as wooden. She was terrible.
Well, I remember her in, was it Falcon Crest?
Who cares about Falcon Crest?
She was very good.
She got good in later... He got good in later years. There's no question that Linda Evans got good in later years. But I think Margaret's right. He stunk on Big Valley. And, you got Linda Evans there, and he's playing the sister to Lee Majors. She could barely act. Peter Breck, she wasn't bad, but had one note and one note only. And then Richard Long, and she'd retired on the job years before. And then Barbara Stanwyck, and we all know how wonderful he was. I thought Barbara Stanwyck was every bit the actress that Bette Davis was, and he was a hell of a lot more fun to work with than that pain-in-the-ass Davis.
All right, Frank, let's not...
Well... Anyway,
by the way, have you seen Feud?
Oh, that's wonderful. You seen it, Frank?
No, I wouldn't want to see it.
It's really good. It's Susan Sarandon plays Bette Davis, and Joan Crawford is played by Jessica Lange.
Who?
Jessica Lange.
Well, how does he... Does he do well?
She is fantastic.
It's really good, Frank.
That's the... thank you very much, Davik. That's the second time you said it. I guess I'll have to see it then.
You should, because... It's worth it, and they both do a great job.
Well, all right, but Bette Davis, I thought... And Bette Davis was great, but Barbara Stanwyck, every time you walked on the set with him, what a gracious, gracious lady he was. Okay, we'll go to another phone call here on Frank Gray's Hollywood, and this is Peter. Peter, good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm really good, Mr. Gray, and good afternoon, Mrs. Gray.
Good afternoon, Peter.
And Mr. Banna?
Davik Banna, yes, that's right.
Thank you. Mr. Gray, you produced not only Bunkhouse, but you also produced one of my favorite shows, which was the Sarsaparilla Kid.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that show. Thank you very much.
But the Sarsaparilla Kid was very good, and I thought the fantasy effect that you had, where it was a fantasy western, and I think you were the first to show... if I'm not mistaken, I think we're the very first to show the correlation between cowboys and the homosexual, later on, the homosexual lifestyle.
Right.
Well, we were experimenting with that, and I had a lot of gay actors, Pauly Perrell and Morris Hansen, two of the biggest, and I said, well, you know, all of a sudden I had all these gay actors. And I said, well, what the hell am I going to do now? And someone said, well, just do a Western. I said, no, this is too, no, we've got to do stuff. So we decided to take, it's a Western with cowboys. And I let Pauly, I said, Pauly, where would you put this? And he said, I'd put it right in the middle of Oz, like a land of cotton candy. And I said, God damn. And so I just turned, I pivoted and walked off the set. 2 days later, they had produced the pilot. It was cowboys frolicking through poppy fields. Jesus.
But it was really good, and I think, did you do two seasons or one?
We only did one season, but thank you very much. The Sarsaparilla Kid.
The Sarsaparilla Kid was groundbreaking. I really enjoyed it a lot, and I'm hoping it comes out on DVD. I've been able to get a few of the videotapes.
Well, I mean, if there's a demand for it, hell yeah.
Hey, Frank, who owns the rights to those things?
The network. I didn't want any piece of that. I thought that thing, I wiped back to front with it. That was what I always said in those days. They'd say, well, Frank, what did you think of that? And I'd say, I'm wiping back to front. What do you think? And they'd say, you got it. You got it, bro. You know.
It was really good, Mr. Gray. I didn't want the evening to pass without me calling up and telling you I liked it a lot.
Thank you, son. Thank you very much.
I'm a woman.
Hello?
She's gone, I guess.
Well, how do you like that? So, well, she was a woman. Frank Gray here with Margaret Gray and Davik Banna. And we're talking about Hollywood and the fun that we had. Yeah, the Sarsaparilla Kid. And, you know, that guy that ran Fox at that time, Bertrand Weiner.
Weiner.
Weiner. Bertrand Weiner. Asked me if I was okay, all that stuff leading up to, was I contemplating suicide, you know?
Well, why would he? Is he saying that just because he thought the movie was bad?
The TV show.
The TV show was bad?
That's exactly why she was saying it. And she says, are you feeling all right? Please don't go near a bridge. And I said, okay, Bertrand, what are you getting at? And she said, well, you must want to commit suicide after that thing that I said... I don't care whether you like it or not. Take it and throw it into the street and let a few cars run it over. And they went ahead and they aired it during the summer as part of their rerun schedule. And a GD, if the GD thing didn't get a big number.
Well, people talked about it a lot for a long time.
Right. Well,
you know, it's Frank, it's something to be known that you were the first person to put a homosexual-themed cowboy show on television. That's something. That's worth something.
Yeah, well, when you tell me what that's worth and you're able to get somebody to pay the price, I'll certainly consider selling it for that. Jesus. All right. One more phone call, and then I think we have to call it tonight. This is Frank Gray along with Margaret Gray, and they've got Davik Banna here, and this is Frank Gray's I Remember Hollywood. And we'll go to the phone here with, this is Evelyn. Hi, Evelyn. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Can I ask you a question? I had the theme music to that wonderful Western that you had done called the Tan Man. Yeah, I had the theme music too. Do you remember that? How that went? It went. I'm doing it, Daddy. Oh, the Tan Man was about tanning hides.
Yeah, it was about a man that tanned hides by day, and by night, crept around the town, and stole cattle and did a lot of things. The network didn't like it because I wasn't specific as to what it was he was doing to the cattle, and because I wanted to keep it a secret, you know.
Well, that was a good one, but you know, I don't remember the but I love the music. The Tan Man.
Well, no, it went like this. Evelyn, it went... but they said, that sounds exactly like Bonanza. And I said, you got to be putting me on.
Well, it does a little bit.
Oh, I thought it sounded differently.
Well, they said it's because it went... Tan Man. Starring Gus Haverstack. And it showed Gus standing there smiling with a smithy apron on, and he had an iron that he was going to, you know, bend a horseshoe. And then at night, he put on a cape, and...
He had a cape, and he had the little mask.
The mask, and he crept into barns, and then you'd hear the horse go, I don't know.
Boy, is that sick.
Oh, the hell it was.
It was very good, though, Mr. Gray. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evelyn. Okay, well, everyone, that's all I can stand for this. Margaret, thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
And, Davik, what can I say but thank you as well.
Well, anytime, my friend.
And, folks, that concludes this roundabout experiment and whatever you want to call this has been... I Remember Hollywood. I'm Frank Gray. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments or questions that you want to make about the show, you can send them into the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm Frank Gray. And we'll see you at the movies. Is that what the guy says?
Well, that's already used.
The Tan Man, courtesy of Bon Evie Pictures.